You're listening to Leader Spot podcast on leaderspot.com. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, here with the CEO of Webster Data Communications Incorporated, Lamont Wells. And welcome, Lamont, to the Leader Spot.
Oh, thank you very much, Rebecca.
Now, congrats on your new appointment as CEO in May, correct?
That's correct.
So you're probably overwhelmed at this point. It's all new.
Well, it's new and it's fast-paced, and it's a lot of learning on the front end to take a look at the as-is model, to do data collection and assessments of where we are so that we can decide where we need to be.
Now, Webster Data Communication provides information technology, information assurance, and security solutions supporting highly classified government agencies, and you're located in Fairfax, Virginia.
That's correct.
So how did you kind of get into this area?
Well, it really started for me in the military when I attended the School of Information Warfare, and so from an information assurance piece, you know, I had that backdrop, but also in the private sector, working with other large companies in the area like Mantech International, where I was the vice president, their senior vice president, working the Critical Infrastructure Protection Program for State Department, which included information security, physical security, and those disciplines.
And you realized the government needed to protect itself on data as well.
Data as well, that's correct. That's correct.
We've had a very traditional mindset in the past, right? Non-data protection, and it's shifting.
Well, it is, and because data is knowledge, and data really is the trusted treasures, as it were, of any corporation, organization, or government entity. And so the protection of that data is critical, and particularly as you deal with agencies who are in a classified space, it becomes even more important, whether it's proprietary information or whether it's national secrets.
And Webster Data Communications was ranked number 125 as one of the nation's fastest growing small businesses on Entrepreneur's Hot 500 list of small companies. Mm-hmm. Also named one of Virginia's Fast 50 for the second consecutive year. What do you believe contributed to all this growth?
Well, I'll tell you, we're really proud of that. Our owner and founder, Cliff Webster, put forth the notion to start a company, a company that would be a lifestyle company, starting really from one person himself and then building this company to what it is today. The growth really is attributed to his belief in customer relationships, satisfying the customer, and really understanding what makes the customer tick and providing solutions. He's an engineer by trade, but more importantly, he is a businessman. Probably one of the most progressive entrepreneurs in the area, a guy who has really kind of flown underneath the radar, but yet has stayed steady with the customer, like our DARPA customer, the Department of Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Very, very sensitive customer, very, very classified work that they do, and very high-skilled people from engineers, PhDs, scientists that work there that require a lot of attention. And Cliff's done a great job in working with that customer to provide a level of trust. They trust him, they like him, and they're willing to do work with him as a result of that. And I think that attributed significantly to our growth pattern in the last 3-4 years.
And did you find out about this company as a result?
Well, no, it's an interesting thing. I had worked with our director of operations when I was with another company. We had won a contract together, both companies, and we were kind of elbowing each other to see who was going to get revenue from that contract. And as it turned out, neither company got anything. We didn't get a dime from it. But through that relationship with Lori Collins, who's our director of operations, she introduced me to Cliff and introduced me to the company about 5 years ago. And so it's always been a company that's been on my radar scope, and I think likewise Cliff has always had me on his radar scope, and it just worked out. It was really the intersection of opportunity and luck.
Which is what a lot of CEOs say businesses in general, right? And you don't want to hear that it's the luck thing as much as I often hear it on the Leader Spot, but that's what you consistently hear. We're speaking with the CEO of Webster Data Communications Incorporated, Lamont Wells, and we're heading to a break in a minute. But I wanted to just, you know, kind of tease the audience a little bit about some of the things you've done. You've served in the U.S. Army and achieved the rank of colonel. You serve key positions as well in the Department of Army Staff, the Secretary of Army Staff, and the Office of Joint Chiefs of Staff. You have 4 master's degrees, which I think you might be the first CEO on the Leader Spot who has 4 master's degrees. And they tease me here because you know, I'm on my third graduate degree, okay. And so I'm catching up. but so you know, we'll see. But we'll be the most educated radio show here in a few minutes, right? In all of Washington D.C. But we're speaking with the CEO of Webster Data Communications, Lamont Wells. And before we head to a break, I just want to thank some of the sponsors. Thanks to Vanjit as well as to Dennis Cole Architects for sponsoring the Leader Spot and investing in leadership and providing business content so that other leaders can learn to be better leaders across D.C. and even across the world, as we're finding with the podcast. They're helping leaders all over. And so we want to appreciate those sponsors for being invested in the Leader Spot. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith. Of course, you can get Bob Marshall's interview on the podcast on leaderspot.com. Hear about his weather bug story. And when we finish this interview with Lamont Wells, it will be podcast at the Leader Spot as well. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. I love learning from these leaders each week, and I hope you do as well. It helps me be a better business leader, and I want it to make you a better business leader each week on the Leader Spot. So we hope you learned something. That means then it's a good radio show. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith. I'll be returning, of course, with the CEO of Webster Data Communications Incorporated.
Thanks to this sponsor of the Leader Spot, the Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel, just minutes from I-66 and 50, provides business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to. The latest in audiovisual equipment and technology, as well as full banquet catering for all tastes and meeting budgets. Visit our website today, theleaderspot.com, and click on Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax for a meeting room discount for your next business meeting. Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax, everything for business, right where you need it.
We're talking with the new CEO of Webster Data Communications Incorporated, Lamont Wells. He just took over the position of CEO in May. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, here in the Leader Spot studio. Lamont, you earned 4 master's degrees, and I talked to the audience briefly about this before, and I'm going to rattle them off. Florida Institute of Technology, a master's, Salve Regina University, the Naval War College, the National Defense University, and help me understand, these were military rewards for you.
Yes, typically, at least in the Army, you would go before a selection board if your performance in leadership and your performance in terms of duty performance was of a nature where you were highly competitive. And the Army selects a very limited number of individuals to get an advanced degree, with the understanding that once you got that degree, you would serve an additional 3 years in that area of specialty. And so it's a very selective process. It's based upon leadership. It's based upon performance. And it's based upon being a high potential top performer, that selection process. On one of them, I was going to the Naval War College to receive a Master's of Science in National Security and Strategic Studies. And at night, I went to Salve Regina University to get another master's in management. And I've always been driven that way. It was kind of a notion of making sure that you had all the tools that you needed in order to do the job that you needed to do in the future.
And you were driven in another capacity in the Army as well. You achieved the rank of colonel.
Right. That's correct.
So were these things that when you kind of started in the military, you knew you were going to go all the way up? That was your goal?
I knew. I knew. My dad was military, and so I grew up in a Navy environment all of my life. And I often tell the story, Rebecca, of growing up in Newport, Rhode Island. And as a kid, during the summers, my mother would allow us to go to the pool on the Navy base. And I would always see, right above the crest of the hill where the pool was, these very distinguished gentlemen in blue blazers and khaki pants walking out of these ivory-covered buildings. And I always wondered what that was, but I knew they were special. And what they were is they were officers coming out of the Naval War College, and I knew I always wanted to do that. And I did that, as things turn mm-hmm. out. And so I've known for a lot of years, even in my youth, that the military was the track that I needed to go. I didn't go Navy, probably because my dad was in the Navy, and I could see at that time they were doing just these long tours out to sea. And, you know, I get seasick, so I didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
I wanted to
yeah.
keep my feet planted on solid ground, and so I went in the Army, and in high school was in a junior ROTC program, the oldest one in the country, by the way. The oldest junior ROTC program in the country, and was a leader there. And it just propelled on from there. College as a distinguished military graduate, graduating there, and then into the military. It just seemed like a natural progression for me.
Did your mom get to see you do your dream, as you say?
Absolutely. Back in Newport, the junior ROTC program was a big deal. I mean, it's a huge deal, and I was the drill team commander, and so we did all the parade things and what have you, and you know, you really got a name for yourself that way. And then in college, both my mom and dad were able to see that, and as I progressed through the military as much as we could when we weren't out of country or too far away, they would certainly be involved in that process.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
And my dad being a Navy guy, interesting story. I can remember when I received an award in ROTC and, you know, he's crying. I mean, you know, because, you know, his son was going in the military. So he gave me a little silver dollar, you know, okay. that I still have to this day. And so it was important for him to see that and important for me to do it.
Excellent. Now, what leadership skills did you learn from back in those military days?
Well, it's interesting. And, you know, often individuals think of military in a certain way with respect to leadership style. But I think the commonality there is effective leadership. And clearly something called transactional leadership, where people have an expectation. They know what the expectations are. They know what the standards are. But yet they also know that for achieving those standards, there's a reward and recognition process associated with it. And so you go through that. However your leadership style is in terms of getting to effective leadership, that's always the core piece of it, you know, kind of a transactional philosophy in leadership style. I would say today it's different. You know, my leadership style has changed.
How has it changed?
Well, I think it's more of transformational in nature. I'm deeply involved in and concerned about empowering people to succeed. I know that the key to success is surrounding yourself with good people. And in doing so, you want people who are ready to meet the challenge and people who are like-minded. And by taking care of people, helping them grow, getting a good team around yourself, my success really is measured in a number of different ways. Aside from corporate performance, it's really making sure that the people that work for me and work with me are successful. And if I can't ensure their success, then I failed.
And that's your own personal growth chart.
That's my own personal. That's exactly right.
When did you start applying that philosophy?
I think it's been quite a while, and I can tell you a story as a kind of a case story. I was in the Dulles Airport last year and waiting in line at TSA security, and I felt a set of eyes kind of staring at me, and this guy just wouldn't stop looking at me. Finally, he conjured up the courage to come up and say, "Colonel Wells?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Sir, I'm Jack Collins, and you may not remember, but I was your S1. S1's kind of an administrative officer, HR officer for a unit. He said, "And I was your S1 in your battalion. And I want to tell you, I really appreciate everything you did for me. I really appreciate the things that I learned from you, and I still use them to this day." Now, that's telling in and of itself, and it's telling because it was a very long time ago. It's early in my career, early in his career. Jack is now a colonel, so he's been very successful. And I was surprised that he recognized me, quite frankly, Rebecca, because that was I had hair then, and I was 20 pounds lighter, and so...
I guess that means you did make an impact.
Exactly.
Now, you were speaking with the CEO of Webster Data Communications Incorporated, Lamont Wells, who took over as CEO in May. And you were VP of Operations and Corporate Development at Siemens Government Services. You secured embassies, consulates around the world in the Global Technical Security Program.
Right.
And then other positions you've held is SVP for Corporate Development for American Systems Corporation. Now, what I've noticed is... that you've kind of had this track record of corporate growth across companies. So what are some of the key characteristics you use to cultivate organizational growth?
That's a great question. You know, I've been blessed to have been given the opportunity to stretch and grow as an individual. And in that process, you tend to learn and you tend to pick up different philosophies and different ways of doing things from the places that you've been. And clearly in organizational growth, you're certainly looking at organic growth. You're looking at strategic growth, which is new business opportunities. You're looking at, you know, strategic hires, significant individuals in a corporate customer target base that you're willing and want to penetrate in as part of your strategic plan. And you're looking at M&A activity. And so you're looking at these five or so component pieces, bringing them all together and rallying a team around that as a part of a corporate strategic planning process that drives down to a business plan. And it keeps you focused. It gives you goals. It gives you objectives to shoot for. And in that process, companies tend to grow. Particularly if you stick to your knitting.
Do you feel like flexibility is a key?
I think it's flexibility and agility. flexibility is key because change is constant and things change, whether it's the trends, whether it's in the environment that you're in, particularly here in Washington where you have external controls that are beyond your control, whether it be through legislation or whether it be through, in our case, the war tax, you know, as a defense contractor, and the commitment to impact on your business as a result of those things that are currently happening. And so it requires that you remain very, very agile. And it's true. Even the big companies have to be agile. But as a small business, we have to be just as agile as well. And we have to be able to move in the direction of the wind, as sailors would say.
Do you feel like as a new CEO, you're kind of coming up with your plan now? And do you feel like you've thought through plans B through D if X were to happen or A were to happen?
Yeah, I have. I think one of the gifts that I have is that I can kind of see the battlefield. And I say battlefield in the sense of organizational battlefield. And I have a vision of exactly where we need to be. I think that one of the things that helped me in that regard is my time as an inspector general under the Secretary of the Army's office. You really get an opportunity to make assessments, to take a look at organizations, do your, as we call it, business process reengineering or business process improvement. And you can really do very quick assessments of where an organization is based on where you think it needs to be. And in that regard, in the next 14 days, we are going to be having our strategic planning roundtable at Webster Data Communications, where I bring the management team together and we decide on, and I get buy-in from that management team on what the 2B model is. You know, what are our goals? What are our objectives? What's our mission? And, you know, a revectoring of that mission, perhaps, that mission statement. What's the vision in getting there? And is it a vision that everybody can embrace and that everybody understands from the lowest level person in the company to me, to the highest level person in the company? And how do we each contribute, you know, to satisfying the goals and the mission of the corporation and the jobs that we do? And that's important. If you bring good people and if you empower them and if they feel a vested interest in the success of the organization, then you're probably going to be successful.
As you go into that strategic planning meeting, how much of that have you already thought through the answer to those questions versus how much of that do you want them to come up with?
Great
the answers?
Great question. I'm on slide 63 right now of putting it all together. And while I was doing it, because I teach this also at Johns Hopkins University, but as I was putting it together, I realized that I could fill in all the blanks. But by me filling in all the blanks, I can't get buy-in from the management team. And so consequently, what I have to do is establish a framework for that planning session and let my team fill in the blanks. Because once they fill in the blanks, once they give a thumbs up to where we want to go, the direction, the focus, the azimuth, as it were, then they're going to buy in because it's their plan. It can't be my plan. It's got to be their plan. And so a lot of it will be instructive only from the standpoint of making sure everybody understands for something simple like, well, what's a mission statement and why do we need to have one? What are values and how important are values to a corporation? And corporations like people, we all have things that make us tick and things that we're known for and things that really set to the core of why we do what it is that we do. So they have to decide on that. But once I tell them the importance of having all of that, then they have to come up with it. And I've got to facilitate that process, and that's what we're going to do.
Do you think that's different, a different model than the military? Military would seem to me would be more top-down.
That gives me pause for thought. The people in the military that I've been associated with that were most successful were those that were not top-down, those that were bottom-up. Clearly, you can't lead and be successful if it's not bottom-up. And I can give you a story, something I tell my people about Napoleon's corporal. Before Napoleon, he could see the battlefield before it occurred. And before he would write his battle plan, but before he would give it to his generals, he would give it to a corporal, Napoleon's corporal. And if that corporal understood what the general wanted, then he knew his generals would as well. And so I think we take that lesson today, even in our Army and our military, and that's one of the greatest strengths. Leadership is from the foxhole up. It's from the individual soldier up. And if they embrace it and they want it, you'll get wonderful results if people feel as though they've bought in, they've vested into it, and if they're part of the process. And so I don't particularly buy in the notion that it's top-down. I think success is bottom-up.
That's a great argument. That's great. Thank you so much for being with us here on the Leader Spot. We appreciate it. And best of luck with that vision and your strategic planning and where you want to take Webster Data Communications.
Rebecca, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's the CEO of Webster Data Communications Incorporated, Lamont Wells, here with us. Of course, his bio, his podcast, and a web link to his company are all available at theleadersspot.com. And of course, I want to thank Scott for podcasting that at theleadersspot.com, as well as many other CEO interviews. So if you want to learn to be a better leader, please visit theleaderspot.com. Thank you for joining us in the Leader Spot. I am your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, and I want to thank our production team, Kathy, Brenda, Jennifer, Chelsea, and Brad. Makeup by Samantha Eibel. She's the makeup artist to many presidents. Theme music by Brad Miner, hotel sponsor, the Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. Thanks to Vangent, as well as to Dennis Cole Architects for sponsoring the Leader Spot and investing in leadership. If you're a business interested in reaching the business community, please consider sponsorship of the Leader Spot. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith, taking a seat with you each week at the Leader Spot. You know what? It's now your seat.